Let's open to the book of Psalms, Psalm 8, Psalm number 8. And I'll read the first verse, Psalm 8 and verse 1. To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And our subject today is David sees the greatness of the Lord, and he makes the Lord his very own. In other words, this is an account of the conversion of David. In this psalm, it's a psalm of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he says to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. Now, we're not certain what this Gittith is. It is refers to Gath, and Gath is the city of Obed-Edom. So it may be the tune that was sung in Obed-Edom's day, a tune or a musical instrument. There are two other psalms that use this term, Gittith, and they are both very joyful psalms, hymns of delight, hymns of praise. So yeah, in this psalm, Psalm 8, we see that David is full of delight. He gazes upward at the nightward sky, and he has a personal experience. He comes to know the Lord from his youth. And we learn that David declared that he trusted the Lord from his youth. You may ask, how do I know that David trusted the Lord from his youth? And we see this later in David's life as he looks back upon his youthful days. And he says in Psalm 71 and verse 5, he says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. From my youth I have trusted you, O God." So as a young shepherd, David is a young Jewish boy. His father is very wealthy. There's no need for him to be looking after the sheep at night. But this was considered part of the upbringing and the building of the character of young people, of the young men. So David gladly did this. He sat in the fields at night. And while he was in the fields at night, looking up at the heavens, he gets a glimpse of the Lord looking into the night sky, the moon and the stars beyond number. He couldn't count them, silently displaying the vastness as far as he could see. He could see the stars every night, night after night. The same stars came out. They never disappeared, faithfully appeared. And David, He lacks words to express the excellence and the largeness and the power and the worthiness of the glory of the Lord. Who can measure the weight? Who can measure the greatness of our God and even speak the half of it? And this is David. So David looked up as a young man, but there's something else very important. As a Jewish young man, he would have known the scriptures very well. The Bible that they had, well, it wasn't really a Bible, it was a scroll, but it was a lot shorter than the Bible we have today. It consisted of the books of Moses and Genesis. So it was approximately one-third of what we have today the full revelation of the scriptures, the books of Moses and the books of Genesis. But there's one thing. David believed the scripture. He would have known it orally. He would have heard it orally. He would have committed much of it to memory. And he trusted and he treasured the scriptures. As today we have, most of us, a Bible, even Bibles available on our phones, let us learn from David and love and treasure the scripture. Let us even store it up in our memory, memorize it if we are able to do that. And it will be a great benefit to us. So David saw the stars, but more than seeing the stars, he was full, his heart was full of the Word of God. And it was a fountain of life to him. And in the light, the revelation of the Word that he knew, he saw light. And everything that he saw, he balanced with Scripture. And David, he would have known that as he reflected back on the book of Genesis, he would have thought about the creation. He would have looked up and he would have said, God has created all this that I can see. It is his creation. He is a wise and a powerful God. He calls forth these stars by name. Not one of them is missing. This is the God who is watching over me even. And David would have known about, from Genesis, he would have known about the creation of man. He would have known that man is not just flesh and blood. He would have known that man is soul and spirit as well. He understood that the real man was created in the image of God, soul and spirit. But he was also would have been familiar with the fall of man, how Eve was deceived by the serpent and partook of the forbidden fruit. And he would have known that man fell from his dominion. And so as he lay there at night, or sat there looking up to the heavens, these truths would have been rich in his mind, in his thoughts. Now David was without a doubt the greatest king that Israel ever had. But he was more than a king. He was one who spoke prophetically. Although he was not formally a priest, or he was never ordained as a Levitical priest, David often taught and he performed many priestly functions, even although he wasn't actually recognized as a priest. And the Psalms speak of his prophetic utterance. They look forward to, many Psalms look forward to and speak of the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And David saw this. David saw the Savior. He saw the Redeemer. 1,000 years before he came, David saw. It was not only saw his coming, it was personal to him. He knew even the Lord from his youth, as we're going to see. So this psalm, it reflects his experience while he was young. His experience looking up to the vast black sky, the millions and millions of stars. Do you know that today modern scientists tell us that the universe is so vast, it is 93 billion kilometers in diameter. And that's just what man has been able to see. They say that beyond what man can measure, there is still more, but still undiscovered. And it is vast. It is glorious. And David saw it night after night. And David says this. He says, God has set his name above all this. He's bigger than all this. He's more powerful than all this. He's more majestic than all this. His glory is greater still, above the stars, above as far as I can see. And then he says, his everlasting throne, God's everlasting throne, is established forever. Now, this is interesting because scientists, modern scientists, they say that in approximately 5 billion years from now, the sun will run out of fuel and it will go out. No more fuel to power the sun to shine. It will go out. But our God, he never goes out. He is forever and ever. And he is, his brightness is established forever. And his throne is established forever. His glorious light never fades. He dwells in an unfathomable light. And the universe to us is so great, so huge, but God measures the span of the universe with his hand. To him, it's just something small. And isn't he worthy? He's worthy to be praised. And this is what David is saying, worthy, worthy to be praised. Do you know some people worship created things? Some people worship Mother Nature, but we worship Father God. Father God is the one who we worship. So no wonder the psalmist exclaims in this first verse, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. If his name, which he describes, is so worthy and so excellent, how excellent is his person? How excellent is the God who reigns and lives forever? The God who is omnipresent, the God who is everywhere. And he is so vast, says the scripture, that even the heavens cannot contain him, cannot contain his glory. And David speaks and he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed with awe at the Lord's greatness. He speaks with affection. He speaks with respect. O Lord, O Lord. He's addressing Jehovah, the great I am, the great one, Jehovah, the name that was so holy that the Jews would even not write it down. And he's addressing God in whom he believes. So this first sentence tells us a lot about the depth of David's belief. David has an understanding even in his early youth. And then he says, our Lord, he says, O Lord, our Lord. And he speaks of Jehovah, Jehovah who needs no sustaining, needs no fuel, needs no help from us, needs, he's self-existent. And then he says, our Lord. And the meaning is this, it's my master, my governor, my ruler, my king. So David is really saying here, he is Jehovah, but he is my governor. He's my king. He's the one that I bow to. I am his very own child. So God has become his king, and he's showing that he's submitted to God, that he's accountable to God. He feels, David feels, that he's under the authority of God and in relationship with the Lord. He feels he knows the Lord. He looks at the stars night after night. They're the same, unchanging, always shining. And then he says, this is a picture of my God. He thinks this and he says, he created all these things, and his kindness and mercy will shine forever and never fade. He's unchanging. He's the faithful God forever and forever. He's all wise. He upholds the balance of these stars. And so he goes, his thoughts go to the scriptures, and he knows and he remembers that he was created, that man was created to have dominion over the earth. If you look at verse 6, we'll jump to verse 6. And verse 6 says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. So David would have got that thought directly from inspired scripture. David knew this, and today we read that inspired thought in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 to verse 28. I'll read it to us. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he would have known very well that man used to have dominion, but he would have also known that man lost his dominion when sin entered the world. When he meditates on God's greatness, he recalls the scriptures and he realizes that God has a plan for man, a plan to redeem. And he understands that there's one who is coming who will be the Redeemer. And the one who is coming shall bruise the head of the serpent, and he shall bruise your heel. Genesis 3, verse 15. So David drew this from the scriptures which he would have been brought up upon. And by the way, this is the first mention of a Redeemer coming in the scriptures. The first mention, the first announcement in the scripture is Genesis 3, 15, that the Messiah is coming, that the Redeemer is coming. And hope arose in David. A Redeemer is coming. We're not doomed. There is hope. Many are going to believe, and there are going to be people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. And he longed to be one of those saved ones, one of those that God would visit, and one of those that God would save. And he understood in God's infinite glory, in his infinite grace, that he's so gentle, that he manifests his greatness in the heavens, in the stars, but he also understands that God manifests his greatness through babes and through sucklings. And we could see this as David is speaking about himself in verse 2. Let's read verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And this is what happened to young David. God shined in his heart and made himself known to David. He didn't have to wait till he had matured and grown up. God revealed himself to David when David was a youngster, when David was still young, shined in his heart, and God's light and God's strength is clearly displayed in babes, in the youth, in the simple-minded, and it's displayed in those whose hearts are set upon God's ways. And David's heart was set upon God's ways. And David believed, and he received, and he declared the wonderful truth. This is what happened to David. David believed, and he received God's strength. And in his heart, and he loved God's ways, and he received new life. And God raised David up, and David became the king and subdued the enemies and silenced the enemy and silenced the avenger. So it has a lot of prophetic truth there. I read an account of another account of the glory of the Lord in babes, the glory of the Lord in little ones. And there's an account of a wicked man, a popish man, speaking very harsh things and saying, these martyrs deserve to die. They are devilish. They are evil people. And a little boy, a young child, I think, overheard the conversation and said, no, no, no devil can speak with the grace that this man used to speak with. You are wrong. And silenced the voice of a child, silenced that wicked man. And God's grace is even seen in youngsters, little ones. The next verse, verse 3, David is again saying, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And when he considers the moon and the stars and the vastness, there's an overwhelming sense of how small he is, how nothing he is. I'm so insignificant compared to this vastness and this greatness. I'm a tiny speck of dust in the vast universe. And he questions himself, and he says, compared to this vastness, why would God even think of me? Why would God consider me? And he's humbled. He's humbled. I feel so small, he said. I'm a mere atom amongst all this greatness. And yet, God is mindful of me. And then in verse 4, he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? You see, David knows that he is fallen. He knows that he is a sinner. He knows that the whole human race has fallen from the Genesis account. And he exclaims, what is man that you are mindful of us, Lord? What is man? We are so unworthy. We are so sinful. Yet you think about us. And it's so amazing. If we think about this, if we consider this ourselves, we who are also so sinful, we ignore God, we disobey his ways, we are unthankful to him, we don't seek him, but yet he's faithful, he's mindful of us, he is kind and merciful towards us. He came from heaven to earth to suffer for us. And this is what David is saying. What is man that you visit him? What is man that you visited us? And this is very real to David, that the Redeemer has come to die on the cross for our sins. He saw it 1,000 years before it took place. And yeah, David is speaking as a prophet. He's speaking prophetically of the coming of the Messiah. It is as if he says, Lord, you've allowed me to see this. And you have visited me, just a youth, someone so small, someone so sinful. And you've caused me to know, you've caused me to grasp these things. But I understand, Lord, it's not only for me, it is for all who believe. And then the saying, what is man? What is man? We sometimes think, oh, yes, man is God's special creation. Man is better than the animals. We have a soul. We have a spirit. Yes, that is true. But do you know, sadly, in man's folly, he threw it all away. He cast it away, and he tramples upon it. What is man? Man is foolish. He is nothing. But what is God? God is full of love. God is full of compassion. Christ is so full of love that before the world began, he set his mind upon millions past, present, and future. He set his mind to save them, to redeem them, to adopt them as his very own. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? This was what David was so overwhelmed that God had visited. Verse 5, you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And we see a New Testament parallel verse to this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9. The scripture says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Let me read the full verse to us. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. That he might taste death for everyone. So all man lost all dominion due to sin. But because of Jesus Christ's substitutionary death upon the cross, everything will be restored to mankind. What grace, what mercy that God is mindful of us. Verse 6, all things will be placed under our feet. All things will, we will have dominion once again. Verse 7, all sheep and all oxen, even the beasts of the field, we've been made ruler over all these things. One of the old writers puts it like this and says, yes, we have been made to rule over all beasts of the field, but let us not be cruel rulers. Let us treat even animals well and not cruelly. Let us remember God is kind, and we too should be kind. We too should be kind. But all things placed under our feet, the point is this, it includes the power of sin shall be broken. The power of sin shall be broken. All things, but we don't see its fullness now. Sin is still in the world. There's still darkness. There's still pain. There's still decay. There's still death. Life is still hard. We have to work. By the sweat of our brow, we have to eat. But David looks ahead. The Redeemer in mercy will come. And when he comes, we shall be translated out of darkness into his glorious light. We will know him as Savior. We will love him. He will be our Lord. And we will serve him. We will be with him. And when we are with him in eternity, there is no darkness. There is no sadness. There is only happiness. There is only peace. There is only joy in him forevermore. And David had a hope in God. He knew God as a youth out in the fields, gazing up at the stars. His faith as a youngster is clear, clear, while he is protecting his father's sheep. You say, how do you know? Well, he faced the lion. He faced the bear. And he killed them. And he later gave glory to the Lord and said, it was with the Lord's help that I was able to do this. All through the Psalms, David knew the Lord. He said, his most famous psalm that we all know, the Lord is my shepherd. He knew the Lord. The Lord was his shepherd. One of Saul's servants spoke of David not only as a mighty man of war, but more importantly, the Lord was with him. So David knew the Lord. David had come to see the mighty Lord and the mighty God. And the question that I have for us today, have we seen the mightiness of the Lord? Have we seen the state of all mankind? That all mankind is fallen and sinful and lost and needs a Savior. Do we realize that we are in need of forgiveness? Have we seen that there is hope in Christ and that he is mindful of us? Christ, who came from heaven to earth and promises to provide us a future without suffering, a future without pain. Christ, who promises eternal life in God's presence. That's who he is. But how? How can we have this? What is God's plan of salvation? Through Jesus Christ, we can receive new life. All we must do is acknowledge, admit, I'm lost. I'm in need of salvation. I acknowledge I'm sinful. I do wrong. I need cleansing. If we repent and turn to him and cry with our whole hearts, he will hear us and he will save us. The old will be behind us and we will be transformed into newness of life. And we will become new creations in Christ. God can be our God, and we can have him as our Lord. O Lord, our God. And we can know him, and we can belong to him, just like David did. What grace, what love, that he has made us children, willing to make us children of the Most High. What electing love, what love it is that adopts us to be his very own children, that we may cry, Abba, Father, my Father, what is man that you are mindful of him? Now, in closing, what a rich and a deep psalm this is. And this psalm, it is about the creation and the fall of man, the redemption of man. And the psalm ends in the very same words that it began with. And in verse 9, short psalm, verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Which shows this, that what he began, this is talking of David, what he began with, he continued with, and it grew stronger and stronger. It shows that he's still enlightened by the power and governed by his wisdom and his power. There's still praise upon his lips from beginning to end. His heart is fully satisfied. The meaning of this psalm is fully realized later in history on the very same fields that David sat in. And it is realized on the night when the stars were shining in those fields of Bethlehem where David used to keep his father's sheep, and the angels came to announce glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill to all men. David saw the fulfillment of this long before it ever happened. The birth of Christ, when heaven's glory announced by angels, where the Son of God became the Son of Man, where the new star appeared and shone brightly to lead the Gentiles to the light. Just as only Christ gives this psalm true meaning, only Christ gives true meaning to our lives. Only Christ will give us a blessed life. David saw his littleness, and he saw God's greatness. Do we see our sinfulness? Do we see our lost state? See his glory and see his kindness and see his pardon, and bow your knee before him and ask him to forgive you. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. David is saying, our Lord, but he really could have said, my Lord, my Lord, my ruler, my King, I will follow you all the days of my life. Let this be our prayer. My Lord, my King, what is man that you are mindful of him? Amen.